The second reading is from Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What do people say the Son of Man? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But you, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and experts in the law, and be killed, and on the third day be raised again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "May you receive mercy, Lord. This will never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a snare to me, because you are not thinking the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In fact, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. After all, what will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father together with his angels, and then he will repay everyone according to his actions. Amen, I tell you, some who are standing here will certainly not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The second reading that we heard tonight from Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, is very valuable because it answers a very basic question. What does it mean to be a Christian? First and foremost is the confession of faith. Jesus asked the disciples what the people were saying about him, and they gave the answers that they were hearing, and these answers were very flattering. They thought that the Son of Man was one of the mighty prophets of old, or even the faithful unto death, greatest man born of women, John the Baptizer. Then Jesus asked the disciples what they thought. Was their answer any different from the crowd's? And yes, it was. No matter how flattering other answers might be, they're nothing compared to Peter's confession. "You are the Christ." There is only one Christ, and Peter is identifying this man named Jesus from the town of Nazareth as that Christ. He's saying that Jesus is the rightful son and heir and king descended from King David. He's saying that Jesus is the one through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed, as God had said to Abraham. And so, this man is the culmination of all of Israel's history and the central figure of all existence. In a way, it's an outlandish claim. But this has been the claim that all Christians make. If anyone does not believe that the man, Jesus, was and is the Christ, then that person simply isn't a Christian. There is no more basic Christian creed than to say, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ." If someone were to ask you what you believe, you could answer them, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ." Notice what Jesus adds to this. Notice what the implications are for the person who makes this confession. Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus gives to Christians the authority to retain the sins of the unrepentant, so long as they do not repent, and to forgive the sins of those who do repent. The salvation that Jesus has accomplished by his all-availing sacrifice on the cross is distributed authoritatively when his disciples deal with people in God's name. Here again we have something that is wonderfully simple. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And what is the Christian church? It is those who believe this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and they forgive sins. Those who do not repent are excluded. Thus, the Christian church, which is made up of believing people, is a great light in this condemned and dying world. Corruption and decay are all around us. Death ruthlessly takes its prey. The devil carries cartload upon cartload of souls who remain in bondage to him by believing his lies. Christians know the truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So at the beginning, I asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? First and foremost is the confession of faith. Jesus is the Savior, Christ the Lord. But what does baptism have to do with this? We're supposed to be considering the significance of baptism tonight. Well, if baptism were just plain water, then perhaps it wouldn't have any significance. But baptism is not just plain water. It is not merely a ceremony or a technicality. It is intimately tied up with this faith and confession. Whoever is baptized into Jesus, into his death. Baptism is the renunciation of the devil and all his works and all his ways, and the reception of a new birth as a child of God with Jesus as our brother. Baptism is the thing that is to be done first thing with anyone who comes to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We see this in the example provided in Acts chapter 16 with the jailer in Philippi. When he came to believe that Jesus was the Christ, he was baptized first thing, together with all of his family. By baptism, we are joined to Christ, and we receive everything that Jesus is and has. So the first part of our reading from Matthew chapter 16 tells us that first and foremost to being a Christian is our confession. Jesus is the Christ. Everything's built on that. Without that, a person cannot be a Christian. And in the second part of our reading, we also learn something that is very valuable. It's what follows after that. How does a Christian live his or her life? After Peter's confession, Jesus began to teach the disciples that it was necessary that he go to Jerusalem and that he suffer many things, be mistreated by the elders and leaders, that he be killed, and on the third day rise from the dead. This did not fit in with Peter's thinking of how Christ the King should be. So he took Jesus aside and told him that he should not suppose that such ignoble things should happen to the Blessed One, the Holy One of Israel. Christ the King should be regal and powerful. He should not suffer. He should make other people, the wicked people, suffer. And so it came to pass that Simon, who had just been given the name Peter, should so soon afterwards be called
Satan. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a snare to me, because you are not thinking the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus was going to be the King of Kings, to be sure, but not in the way that Peter expected. But this unexpected way of life was not just something for Jesus, but also for anyone who wishes to be and to remain a Christian. Right after this, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In fact, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. After all, what will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father together with his angels, and then he will repay everyone according to his actions. Amen, I tell you, some who are standing here will certainly not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This way of life does not appear very attractive to our flesh. And why should it? It is the death of our sinful flesh with all its sinful desires. The fall into sin made us believe that loving is bad. It's a wet blanket, at the least, or simply awful. Unless there be some mighty big payoff at the end, then we might love a little bit. That is not how we were created to be, though. We were created in the image of God. We were created to love, even if it should cost us our life. The goodness of this kind of sacrificial love, is something that we have to learn by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that will come to us naturally. Our first reading tonight speaks to this at great length. Romans chapter 6 is a very important chapter to read over and over again. I've been reading it for years, and I still do not think that I've grasped it as well as I'd like. The main thing to remember while reading it is that Paul is talking about our Christian life in a way that does not come naturally or easily to us. We can easily think of our Christian life as being a matter of knowledge and willpower. We know certain things and then we rev up our willpower so that we do better. While this way of thinking can't be totally wrong, it certainly isn't the way that Paul is talking in this chapter. Instead of speaking about the Christian life as being a matter of knowledge and willpower, he speaks about it in terms of being baptized, and in that baptism, being united with Christ's death and resurrection. Being a Christian, therefore, is a matter, first of all, of being baptized. Then that baptism continues on with its effects in the Christian. When we were baptized, we died together with Christ with all our sin. When Jesus was raised, we were raised too, having been united with him. Thus, in a sense, our life is not our own achievement as Christians. We haven't gotten rid of our own sin. We haven't manufactured any holiness for ourselves whatsoever. This is true no matter how much knowledge or willpower we might want to throw at the situation. Rather, these things come solely from Jesus through our baptism into him. But then our clever, self-serving reason pipes up, "Well, if it's all God's doing and none of my own, then I might as well live how I want to live. That is to say, I might as well sin all the more so that grace may abound." That makes a lot of sense. But notice what Paul does not say in response. He does not take back anything of what he said about our life as baptized believers. He doesn't take anything back about Christ being victorious over our sin, about giving us new life. He certainly does not say, "God does his part, now it's your turn to do your part." That's something that makes a lot of sense to us. But he certainly does not say that. Instead, he says that you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ. And he warns us against presenting ourselves as a slave to the devil. If you do that, then you'll be stuck with him. Instead, walk in the way that God has given you to walk, which is the dying and rising of Christ within us, as we die to sin and live to righteousness. So in Romans chapter 6, we get a fuller treatment of the things that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 16. If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In fact, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There is no, you do your part, I'll do mine, not because of the hope of being paid back, but Christians simply say, I'll do mine, because to love is good. Let's sum up. We have excellent texts tonight that answer the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? We saw, first and foremost, that it's a matter of confession. Jesus is the Christ. By believing in him, we have the forgiveness of sins, thereby defeating death, hell, the devil. Then we also learn, like Peter learned, that being a Christian is not a matter of attaining glory and power and success in the way that this is normally understood. Rather, Christians are being worked on through their baptism, being conformed to the image of Christ, the crucified. They are to die to sin and live to righteousness. They're to learn to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. This is enough to occupy us, to occupy our time as Christians. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.